Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for coming to the weekly Parsha Shir. This week is Parshas Emor. My bar mitzvah Parsha was Parshas Emor. So what I'd like to do this evening is speak about 3 to 4 halachos related to a bar mitzvah boy that are all connected to Parshas Emor. Here we go. Vayikachav Aleph Ches. V'kida Ashto, you shall sanctify the Kohen. Because after all, he's the one who sacrifices the korbanos. Kadosh yelach, ki kadosh ani, he shall be holy for you, because I'm holy. Ani Hashem kadoshim, and I'm the one who sanctifies you. So we have an obligation, according to Torah law. The Rambam counts this as one of the 613 mitzvahs, the 32nd positive commandment, mitzvahs asei d'oraisa, yishat zivano lechabed zera aharon. We have an obligation to honor the offspring of Aaron, the Faram, Ulanosa, Mishanosa, Madrigosa, Madriga, Kodemes, Verishona. So we are familiar with this concept. We have to put Kohanim ahead of ourselves to some degree. And the Rambam elaborates, Vafilu Yimano, Lo Nishma Mehem. And even if they refuse the honor, don't listen to them. And the Rambam, etc., essentially explains that because it's not the Kohen's honor. We honor the Kohen not because of their own merit, but rather why? Whose honor is it? Oh, exactly, Jerome. Very good. It's Hashem chose them, says the Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvos. Shehu lakcham ubachram. He took them and chose them. Avodasa ulahakiv korbanosav. So if Hashem chose the Kohanim, they deserve a designated honor, and therefore there's a mitzvah midoraisa to honor them. So what's the most classic way we honor Kohanim? First Aliyah, right. So again, welcome to AB. Welcome. Oh, it's such great to see everyone. It's a little bit of an emotional introduction this evening. We'll talk about it later. Alvin, we'll talk later. But ultimately, Alvin, Amy, we're an interesting text message from Amy before we have to look into that one. let me give a little bit more background. But Alvin, my bar mitzvah parsha was Parsha's Emor. We're doing some halachas related to the parsha that are connected to bar mitzvah boys. So number one, the first one, is that there's a concept of honor in Kohanim. Kohanim get the first aliyah. And the Gemara Meseches Kohen Moed Katan Chav Chesem and Beis says, V'kohen gufe minalan, d'tana d'bei Rabbi Shmuel, v'kidashto, this week's parsha, you shall sanctify the Kohen, l'chol davar shebektusha, liftoach rishon, levarach rishon, liton manor yafar rishon. Basically, the Gemara essentially just said, give the Kohen liftoach rishon, is to have the first aliyah. The Rambam writes in Hichos, klei hamikdash, v'tsarich, called Adam Yisrael in Hogbam Kavod Harbe. Interesting. You really need to honor Kohanim. A lot of extra honor. Who here is a Kohen, anyone? And to give them extra honor. Ulahaktim Osan Lechol Davar Shebekdusha. And you need to put them first when it comes to matters of Kedusha. Liftoach B'Torah Rishon. So there it is. It's a Gemara. It's a Rambam. We give Kohanim the first Aliyah. What if the only Kohen available is below the age of bar mitzvah? What would you say? Should he get the aliyah or not? So, yeah, that's for sure. It's AV, you know, very good. So we had no for sure in this corner. Machlokis and Jerome, what was your answer? Absolutely not, says the Yekka, because there are rules. Very good. So the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Shabbos Reish Pei Beis Halacha Gimel writes, Hakol Olim Leminyan Shiva. We're pretty liberal in terms of who can be counted towards an Aliyah, towards the 7. Afilu Isha Vikatan Shadeh Lemim Mavarchim. Again, without going to the whole sugi of the women, obviously there's a much larger discussion. Without tackling that issue, but Katan, as long as a minor is aware that he is blessing God when he makes a bracha, apparently has the ability to get an aliyah. And the Mishnah Berurah says, whoa, 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 whoa. V'katan, v'af im ein sham kohen ela katan, korin oso. So at first, the Mishnah Berurah plays into this concept and says, even if what? The only Kohen available is a Katan. He gets the Aliyah. The Das Amagin Avram. She'ein Anu Mechuyavim Likroso. No. We don't call up the minor who's a Kohen. The Mitzvat Aseh Devikidashto. When does the Torah say you have to honor a Kohen? Lo ne'emar al kohen katan. Why? Because what was the whole purpose that we honor the Kohanim? What do they do to merit this honor? They work in the base of Migdash. Ah, ki eslachem lekech hu makriv. V'katan lav bar avoduhu. A minor does not work in the base of Migdash, and by extension, they don't earn that same level of honor. So therefore, the Mishnah Berurah concludes, v'chein nohagin b'yameinu, she'kishein b'beis ha'knesset kohen, shu ben yid gimel shana. If there is no bar mitzvah kohen in the shul, korein Yisrael b'makom kohen, v'afilu yesham kohen katan. Even if there is an 11-year-old, a 12-year-old kohen available, we do not call him up for the first aliyah. And then the Mishnah Berurah elaborates, as we are familiar with, v'yotzer mizeh nohagim kayom she'ein kohen katan klal. Lashum aliyah. We never give any minor below the age of 13 any aliyah. Afilu im kvar nishla minyan akruim. Ela lemaftir. The only one that maybe we can entertain is maftir. Wow. Okay. So that would be a concept. So for Hovshafa, maybe not. But for maftir, we had the shayla in this very room. Within the past year or so, there was a young boy who was preparing for his bar mitzvah, and he wanted like kind of like a practice with the Haftorah. So I think let's just say there was a kula there. I don't know, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Markowitz were involved. But I think, again, we were lenient to allow the boy to do the Haftorah in the team union. But again, I don't know all the details about that case, but it happened. Okay, so what about an aliyah? We just said no. Now, the Magen Avraham, I'm going to go back to the Mishnah Berurah, the next source on the sheet, if you want to follow along. The Magen Avraham laid earlier in that writing does suggest that it's okay, meaning it's underlined. Or it says, Ein sham kohen elakatan korinoso, meaning the Mishnah Berurah was apologetic. Namely, there is an opinion out there who would hold that if the only kohen in the room available as a katan, then he should get the aliyah, right? So I guess you have to ask what's the root of the dispute, right? Meaning, what do we say? A katan should not get any honor because he does not serve in the base of Migdash. So can anyone think of the reason to give the katan kohen, even though he's not able to perform the avod in the base of Migdash? For chinuch, yeah, maybe not change the minog, not to deviate, or maybe right, meaning you have to start pointing to other elements of Kedushas Kohanim that are independent of the Avoda. Meaning he is a Kohen. He is already a Kohen. He can eat Truma. He can't become Tamei Meis, right? I don't know too much about what? Yeah, if he's, obviously if he's Tahor, he has to be Nizbet Tahor, Kachim, whatever. But there is such a Shita on the books that a minor below the age of 13 may get Kohen if he's the only Kohen available. We don't pass him like that. In the Mishnah Berurah world, at least. Okay. So, yeah. Oof. So maybe, so it says, Jerome, once we're lenient for Kohen, maybe we should be lenient for other aliyahs. I don't know. To me, it sounded more like it's a din by kahuna. I don't know. Yeah, but that's, we're making on someone's Torah. So clearly, it's not like blasphemous. It's not heretical to give a katan aliyah. If it were, we would not allow it on someone's Torah. Meaning, right, it's clearly not like as forbidden as Averos. All right, but now the Shiloh will extend to a katan leaning. Right. So has anyone ever here seen a katan lean? Or familiar with that concept? They don't lean for the tzibur. Wait, what did you... Wait, hold on. Shlomo, you're familiar with a case where a katan leaned for the shul? Yeah. So he was able to lane what, the parsha, or he just got maftir? I think it was just the haftorah. Ooh. So now we gotta do our homework over here. But yeah, all right. So either way,
I'm not saying it's right. I'm
just saying about
happening. So I would think there should be a distinction if he's the only one.
Very good. So that's exactly, Peter. Oh, yeah, right. Peter, you have a Gemara cup. I didn't know that. You should be blessed. That the halacha over here says the following. So here in the Mishnah Berurah says, "Mikol Markom and Sifkat and Yud Gimel, Ein Yachol Yos Makres Olam." He cannot be the one laning from the Sefer Torah No way. Unless Achayavi Shtei Saros. Okay, and when he's 13, we assume that he has two Saros. And here's the key line. We have two options. Either no one will lean, or a katon will lean. So which is the better option? Then, maybe you can be lenient. Again, a 13-year-old boy is assumed to have two hairs, pubic hairs, and that's what allows him to be the halachic gadol. Obviously a sensitive topic. What? Oh, very good. So the Derech HaChaim is the sitter of the Nesivos, right? The Derech HaChaim is the Nesivos, the sitter, if I'm not mistaken. So there it is, that he was lenient. If the only available Bal Koreh was a minor, so he can do it, okay? Now again, that's very, you know, apparently it was more common in Europe for Ketanim to be maybe a little bit more educated. I remember Rosh Shiva of TABC, Rabbi Yosef Adler grew up in Brooklyn in like a shtiebel. And I think he grew up in like going to like a Majnitz Shiva. You know, he has a different background. And he, what am I talking about? He went to Kamenitz. He went to Rabbi Adler. Yeah. So over there, so I remember he said to us once that as a 13-year-old boy, he was the Chazan Yamim Noraim. Because he was the only one who knew how to do it. But he was 13. So there is a very important distinction that Adam alluded to, that we're not always lenient when it comes to allowing a 12-year-old or a 13-year-old to do something, and we'll talk about that shortly. But okay, so, yeah.
Could someone who's like brilliant to be 8 years old go up there when he's not even close to being?
No, that's a fantastic question, Robert. Yeah, I don't know of such a distinction. But Robert wants to maybe suggest, if you're a brilliant 8-year-old, does that make you a gadol? So usually to be a halachic adult, you need two things, shanim and simanim. So physical maturity and an age. So, I don't know if there's any wiggle room there. So again, for anyone who walked in, my bar mitzvah parsha, so halacha number one, related to both bar mitzvah boys and parsha's emor, is that a bar mitzvah boy should not lean. Parshas Emor, unless he's bar mitzvah. So let me restate that. Someone should not lay Parshas Emor unless he is bar mitzvah. And similarly, someone should not get the Kohen Aliyah unless he is bar mitzvah. Is there room for leniency when there's no Kohen available? Potentially. Is there room for leniency when there's no other Bal Koreh available? Potentially, yes. Okay. So that's point number one of this year. Bullet point number two, on the second of the bullet points, we go on in Parshas Emor. Parshas Emor is most famous for discussing the Mo'adim, the holidays. Shabbos is the first of them. Interesting point to note that Shabbos in this week's parsha is the first quote-unquote holiday. And Rabbi Yonasan Sacks, I hope everyone has had exposure to this man. And if you have not yet seen this man, you should go 10-minute drive to Passaic, New Jersey, go to the Aguda and catch this man, give a shiur once in your lifetime at least. He is a walking computer. My cousin, Arya, they pronounce it Edelman. It's spelled E-D-E. I grew up saying my cousin's name was Arya Edelman. But in the shul, he was just honored it. In the Aguda of Passaic, they honored my first cousin, Arya Edelman, apparently. And Rabbi Sacks spoke, and he also just spoke in TABC, representing Landers. And he gave out his new Sefer on Shavuos. Boxes of his new, I don't know how new the Sefer is, but I guess it's one of his newer ones. And in the Sefer, he speaks about this concept that I'm about to quote. But there's a Ramban in this week's parsha, and he comments on this term, Mikra'i Kodesh. Hashem says to Moshe, Daber b'nei Yisrael, v'tel hem, Mo'adei Hashem, these are the holidays of God, Asher tikur osam, Mikra'i Kodesh, Eile Mo'adei, you shall refer to them as holy callings. Mikra'i Kodesh, somewhat of a loaded term. The Ramban tries to figure out what this term refers to, and the Ramban on the parsha argues the following. The word Mikra Kodesh is a reference to people gathering together. Sheyu b'yom hazeh kulam kru'im v'ne'esafim l'kadeshos. So we're all going to gather and call together. Ki mitzvah hi al Yisrael. It's a communal mitzvah. Li kabetz bebeit ha'elokim. To gather together in the house of worship. B'yom moed lekadesh hayom befarhesya. So like when we all go to shul and meet up in shul, on whether it's Shabbos or Yom Tov, we are apparently fulfilling this mitzvah of Mikrei Kodesh, Bitfila, V'halel Lakel, B'ksus Nikia. And it's somewhat intuitive that we understand that shul is a much more festive, communal experience on Shabbos and Yom Tov. We all do it together. We sing together. We get dressed up together. V'lasos oso yomishte. And then he brings other examples from Tanakh. Very nice. It's Mikrei Kodesh, like Kru'ei Ha'eda, a gathering of the people. Very nice. I would not have argued that this Ramban is halachic. He's just trying to explain what the phrase Mikrei Kodesh means. However, there's a Prima Gadim. I would not have known this Prima Gadim unless for the great Gadol Rabbi Yonason Sachs, Rosh Yeshiva of Landers, the Rav of the Aguda in Passaic. And the Prima Gadim quotes this Ramban in his commentary into the Shulchan Aruch, and he says, do you know that davening, according to the Ramban, is only a mitzvah midrabanan during the weekday? The Ramban shita is that only in a time of tzara, like a war, is tefillah midoraisa. But a regular day, a regular marv, is a midrabanan. However, based on this Ramban, ubi yom tov, yesh lomar tefillah din Torah. And when we get together in shul on Shabbos, that is a mitzvah on a biblical level, because after all, what did the Ramban explain? The Torah wants us to gather together in shul on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and therefore the concept of prayer on Shabbos is a din midoraisa. Wow. What? Well, it would be Shabbos and Yom Tov, seemingly, because because Shabbos is included in this term, Mikrei Kodesh, seemingly. And therefore, when you have a minyan on Shabbos, there's a halachic nafgamina, you need 10 men, yud gimel shanim, ubeiz se'aros. Oh my gosh. Meaning normally, if you need 10 men for Mariv, and one of them is a 13-year-old kid, okay, you can count for the minyan. But on Shabbos or Yom Tov, you better have what he calls a real minyan. Ulefi ze roi lachosh leze ulehader achar gdolim, Sheyadua Sheviu Beis Se'aros. Oh my gosh, what a chumra of the Prima Gadim. He just said that because davening on Yom Tov and seemingly Shabbos is a de'oraisa, according to this Ramban, your minion of 10 men need to be real 10 men. You can't rely on what we call the Chazaka of Rava. Rava in Meseches Nida writes, K'tana Sheigia Lekashin Aseah, Eina Tzrich Bedika, Chazaka Hevia Simanim. That's what we call the Chazaka of Rava, that when a boy reaches age 13, we can assume that his biology mandates that he has two hairs in the pubic region over there, so we don't need to check anything out, nothing shady. Okay, nothing too personal. However, when do we rely on this Chazaka? When do we rely on this Chazaka? Always? Maybe not always. The Shulchan Aruch says, Lo hevi shtei se'aros. Let's say someone did not yet bring two hairs there. So a 13-year-old boy who does not yet have the physical maturity is halachically not a gadol. Until he reaches a certain age, 36, whatever, not for now. But the Rama explains, we don't go searching, we don't have to perform a search on a bar mitzvah boy. So this is the practice of Judaism. We assume a 13-year-old boy is a gadol, a bar mitzvah boy. But the Bishop Bura points out, Ratzalom Arlinyan Tfila Shibi Derabanan. We only assume he is a gadol by matters of a Derabanan. And what if Tfila is a Doraisa? It's still okay. Can anyone think of why it would be okay?
So the
very, very nice, Peter. That, listen, the kid might be a gadol, and to check it out would be very embarrassing, or to say that he's not a gadol is very, very embarrassing. So, but it's a mitzvah midoraisa, and we need 10 men. So can we rely on that assumption that he's a gadol? So Peter says, you better rely on it, otherwise it's going to be very, very embarrassing. Good. Oh, so midoraisa l'chumra. But there's an amazing distinction in Lamdus over here. Even if you want to say tefillah is d'oraisa, that means the prayer is d'oraisa. However, gathering the 10 men is not a din midoraisa. Meaning, when you see a minyan of men davening, so which mitzvah is the mitzvah b'daraisa? The fact that they're praying. The concept of 10 men equaling a minyan, that is not a din b'daraisa. Meaning, having this guy count towards a minyan, that's not a din b'daraisa. So it's a brilliant distinction over here, where, similar to what Peter was saying, it was that, listen, if the mitzvah b'daraisa tefillah, okay, so we can't rely on it. But to count them towards a minyan, that is not a din b'daraisa. Wow. So therefore, if the only din in question is whether he counts for a minyan, we can be lenient. But what would be an example where we don't want to rely on this chazakah because the mitzvah itself is a din b'daraisa? Zachor, good, excellent.
My son did to me, we see when Rabbi Jack had him do witness a death, make sure they had fear.
Wow. Okay. All right. So only the Adam Karp, everyone should just give Adam. Adam fasted the whole day. His mother should have. He fasted the whole day. He just broke his fast, and he quotes a brilliant example that I would never have thought of. So Rabbi Jachter wanted Adam's sons to be an aide on a get,
right?
And he made sure that their facial hair suggested that they were really gedolim. Wow. Wow, so facial hair would be obviously the way to determine here. Unbelievable. So Parsha Zachor is where it comes up. So where a bar mitzvah boy, his bar mitzvah Parsha is Parsha Zachor. So it gets a little awkward. Why? Because what might we say to the bar mitzvah boy? The bar mitzvah boy can lane. Laning, Kriyas Torah, Durabana, not a big deal. But Parsha Zachor, that's a daraisa. So it could be that we might tell the bar mitzvah boy to step aside for Parsha Zachor. Also, Rabbi Baruch Simon Shlita, he once said over this concept, and he said it was in YU Shavuos morning, and you need someone to recite Birchas HaTorah for the Tzibur. Now, according to the Ramban, Birchas HaTorah is a mitzvah b'daraisa. So they got a kid who is a bar mitzvah boy to say Birchas HaTorah for the congregation. Not so good. Why? Because we don't really know that he's a gadol yet. So we don't rely on the chazakah of Rava for d'oraisas. Now, let me introduce everybody to Moshe Aaron. This is Moshe Aaron, new to our community. Everyone welcome Moshe. Moshe is the man. Moshe and I grew up 10 feet apart from each other. We were backdoor neighbors. Now, Moshe is a pretty tall guy, but I'll tell you a secret, Moshe. He's been this tall since fifth grade. So something unique about Moshe Aaron. So I would imagine that not every bar mitzvah boy is treated equally, meaning there are probably some bar mitzvah boys that you can assume that the kids are gadol. I would imagine it's case by case. But like a scrawny mandelstam, bar mitzvah boy, they're looking at a mandelstam. He's not Moshe Aaron. Maybe there's room for chumras to not rely. But either way, it's a fascinating chumra of the Prima Gadim that on Shabbos, you can't count a katan or at least a 13-year-old bar mitzvah boy rather for a minyan because it's a d'oraisa to daven. What a chumrah. I thought, maybe it made sense because the Ramban said that it's not the prayer itself that's the d'oraisa, it's the gathering that's d'oraisa. And since it's really a din in the gathering more than anything else, maybe you should be machmer. Whatever, I don't know. If it comes up, I don't think you have to be machmer. It's somewhat of a unique sheet over there. Wow. Okay, so that was bullet point number 2. Yeah. In Eretz, yeah, seemingly, right? Yeah, why is Berkos? I think so. Kosev Aruch Hu, right? I don't know. Is Birchas HaTorah isn't a Birchas Kohanim is not a Daraisa nowadays? So if there's only one Kohen, and yeah, but either way, he's not being motzi us. I don't think there's a
blessing us, either you're blessed
or not. Right, yeah, I don't know if there's anything at stake there by a 13-year-old Kohen blessing us. Okay, but
sorry.
Yeah, Harry, no apologies, yeah.
So if the Shabbos Mincha minyan,
yeah,
and you have 10 adults, sorry, 9 adults, and
yeah.
Recent bar mitzvah.
Yeah.
Problem?
Yeah. The Prima Gadim would say potentially it's a problem. I wouldn't worry too much about
so
it. I would say it's about it. I wouldn't be machmir. I'm saying it's a good sheer topic. I don't know if I don't know how many people know about this Prima Gadim. Rionis and Sachs knows about the Prima Gadim. I only know about it because of a sefer. I would be very surprised. We don't usually assume like this at all. And also, what's it based on? The Ramban ala Torah. So it's a little bit of a funny chumra that the Ramban's parish in Mikra Kodesh makes it into the Prima Gadim on Shulchan Aruch. The Ramban was not writing halachically. And Rav Yonasan Sacks himself concludes that you can be lenient. Okay, so it's not me being lenient, it's Rav Yonasan Sacks. I forgot I didn't put that on the Marmar Koma sheet, but Rav Yonasan Sacks thought it was you don't need to be Makosha. You're good with your 9.5 minyan. All right, here we go. So the famous Shaila, this is my Shaila, because my Bar Mitzvah Parsha was Parsha's Emor. Oh, Shaila, remember my Bar Mitzvah? You do. Okay, you got a kippah. That's right, giveaway. So it was Sfiras HaOmer. Could I count Sfiras HaOmer? This is the famous Shaila. If you turn 13 in the middle of the Omer, can you continue to count with a bracha? Oh, so there's a concept of Tmimos. Sheva, Shabbosos, Tmimos, Tiena. You need to count complete weeks in the Omer. Now the Gemara and Mesechus Menachos doesn't make such a big deal out of this. The only halacha in Shas that is derived from this term, complete, Tmimot, count, is that you should start counting at nighttime. The day starts at night. So don't count Omer during the day, count at night. Good. But what's the famous shita of the Bahag? The Bahag says that you can't miss a day. The count needs to be complete, and therefore if you miss a day, a full 24-hour period goes by without you having counted the Omer, you can no longer count. We Paskin, you can no longer count with a bracha. But the Bahag shita is that it needs to be a complete count. And the Sefer HaChinuch in this week's Parsha says if you forget to count at night, you simply count the next day. That's what we paskin. And then he quotes the Shita of the Bahag, that if you forgot to count a full 24-hour period, you can no longer count. But then the Sefer HaChinuch uniquely paskins. V'lohodu morenu shebedorenu. In the Sefer HaChinuch's time, they did not hold like the Bahag. Rather, they said, even if you forget a full day, let's say you forgot day 8. When you get up to day 9, you know what you would do? You would say, Emesh Hayukach, yesterday was 8, and I guess today, you know, they would say is 9. Without a bracha, essentially, they would make up the day they missed, and then they would be able, Umona Ha'acher im Kol Yisrael. And then they could continue to count the Omer with the rest of Klal Yisrael, seemingly with a bracha. Meaning, we didn't used to pass it like this, Bahag. In the days of the Sefer HaChinuch, in the days of the Rishonim, and seemingly because the Bahag, again, is one opinion, it's not so clear that Tmimos means you can't miss a day. And here, even if you miss a day, you can make it up by saying, last night I messed up, and today is, you know, whatever. But the Minchas Chinuch over here is the one who begins to speak about the Bar Mitzvah boy. Because the Bar Mitzvah boy counted, let's say. But when he counted, he wasn't really obligated to count. So maybe you could argue that they don't really count towards his count because what? You need a complete count. So imagine his bar mitzvah is on day 20 of the Omer and he counted 19 days. But those 19, are they worth bupkis or not? What would you say? Yeah, so they're worth something, but are they good enough to justify him to continue counting with a bracha? Yeah, he does. Shh. Okay. So, only 7 minutes up there. So Adam, all right, Moshe, this is Adam Karp. He knows everything. Okay, just that. Even when Adam doesn't eat or drink, he's still like well above average intelligence. Yes, Rav Soloveitchik has a whole different atmosphere. So Omer, not for now. But Adam, Yasher Koach to you, as always. However, we generally assume in Lamed is not like the Rav. Even though the Rav is a brilliant analysis of the Shita Lag, but ultimately, there is two ways to view Sfiras HaOmer. Either every day is its own mitzvah, in which case a bar mitzvah boy can begin counting with a bracha, because day 20 is its own mitzvah, regardless of the first 19 days. Every day is its own mitzvah. Or alternatively, you could view Sfiras HaOmer as one massive mitzvah, in which if you miss the first half, you can't just continue halfway through the mitzvah. It's one lump. Yeah. Very good. So Poskim say exactly like you, Rabbi Weintraub, brilliant, points out that maybe the concept of a complete count to Mimos is not equal for all. Yes, so Poskim speak about a case where let's say you know you're going to have to be undergoing surgery for a 25-hour period or so. You know for a fact you will miss a day of Sfira. Should you even bother counting in the first place? So Poskim say yes. Why? Because your Tmimos is your Tmimos. You know, it's very sensitive. Someone's not confident they're going to live all of Sfiras HaOmer. They're not going to survive again. So they say, your Tmimos is your Tmimos. So essentially, there's a machlokas of Poskim. The Birka Yosef says whether it's a katan who becomes a gadol, or a ger. In these cases where the beginning of their count might not have been quote unquote 100%, so he writes, Kol hani monim she'ar yamim below bracha. And the example he gives also is an onin. So someone who was not obligated to count in the previous night because they had to bury a relative. So my wife's grandfather, Olav Shalom, the great Warner Rosenbaum, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, he passed away in Sfirsa Omer. And my wife's uncle, Uncle Stevie Rosenbaum from Har Nof, Talmud Chacham, and a wonderful man and a dentist, I think retired at this point. So he was sitting Shiva on the first day right after the funeral. And I said, Uncle Stevie, did you count Omer yet? He said, yeah, I counted quickly while I was in Onain. I just said it without a bracha. I said, count again right now. Why? Because when he counted as an Onain, he was not technically obligated to count. So it's not clear that that's a sufficient count. So he counted on the spot, you know, he didn't bat an eyelash. But because you could argue when he counted as an Onain, it's not really worth anything because he wasn't obligated. An Onain is not obligated in mitzvos. Al Katan is not obligated in mitzvos. However, the Shari Shuva, he quotes his Birkei Yosef, and then he disagrees. Essentially, it's a machlokes aposkim. My understanding is that the minhag is that a bar mitzvah boy does continue to count with the bracha. Again, there are a lot of poskim there, but I don't remember anyone in our community is telling bar mitzvah boy that they cannot count with a bracha if he didn't miss a day. I mean, if he counted all the while, so we assume that he has enough of a halachic reality, and that seems to me most that because he didn't miss a day yet, he could continue to count with a bracha. I think that is the minhag in our community, if I'm not mistaken. But tonight is Wednesday night, and this Friday, and this will be our last bullet point on the sheet, is going to be Pesach Sheni. What if someone becomes bar mitzvah in the middle between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni? Do they need to bring the Korban Pesach Sheni? Says the Rambam, Ger Shen is Gayer, Ben Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, V'chein Katan, Shehigdol, Ben Shnei Pesachim, Chayoven Lasos Pesach Sheni. The Rambam Paskins, just like Sfesa Omer, whatever, you know, it's a new reality. Now you're on the halachic radar. You were not obligated in the original one, but now you're almost reborn like a convert or a bar mitzvah boy. So you should bring the Korban Pesach Sheni. But then the Rambam writes, V'imshachto Allah Barishon Pater. But let's say your parents had you in mind on the first Pesach. That's sufficient. And every parish on the Rambam goes haywire on that. Why? Because who cares that your parents had you in mind when you were a katan on Pesach? You were a katan. So it still shouldn't count. So you should have to bring the Pesach Sheni, even if your parents brought with you in mind. So this is Come on. When he was a katan on the first Pesach, how in the blazes could his parents exempt him? And Rav Chaim Brisker has a whole lamdus over here. And again, it's very fancy and there's a lot to say. But Rav Chaim Brisker wants to essentially argue that if we were to say there's a spectrum from 0 to 10, would a katan be 0 when it comes to the Korban Pesach or not? So you have to say that a katan is on the halachic spectrum. You can't call him a 0. And therefore, when his parents have him in mind, there's enough of a halachic connection between the kid and his family's Korban Pesach, right? We could all relate to the concept of a minor standing up on the chair singing Manashtana, that the kid is part of the Pesach Seder. And so too, Reb Chaim explains that the Chefza, the item known as the Korban Pesach, is the mitzvah. And if parents include their katan, their 12-year-old boy, in that mitzvah, so okay, he's included. In contrast, let's say the mitzvah of matzah. So someone who has like a short episode where he is like literally like mentally incapacitated, he has matzah, and he all of a sudden comes out of his daze. There, he would have to eat Pesach matzah again. Why? Because at the time he ate the matzah originally, he was a 0 on the halachic radar. He was a shota, he was a 0. In contrast to someone who's that, a katan is not a 0. So, a katan is more on the halachic radar than we might have thought. And then something that's not on the sheet, you know, it's always appropriate to mention Lag BaOmer, which is coming up within a week. By the time we meet next Wednesday night, Bezer Hashem, it will already be past Lag BaOmer. And certainly a major theme of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is teaching Jews that you have maybe more of a place in this religion than you may have thought. The art of Chassidus and the Torah of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and the Zohar is all about teaching Jews there's more to Judaism than you may have thought, and there's more to you than you may have thought. I was just listening in the car this morning with Moshe Zvi Weinberg. You know, the whole idea is that the secrets of the Torah also lead one to realize the secrets of themselves. And here the halacha is screaming, you think you're only 12, but you're so much more. You think you're only a balabas, you're so much more. You come to a shiur on a Wednesday night, even fast, and you put in the effort to learn more Torah. So let us be inspired by Hashem Baruch Hai, by the katan, the halacha, who's 12 going on 13. So too, we are all a guf going on a neshama. And with that, let's pray.